This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Israel's prime minister is strongly indicating that he will no longer tolerate Hezbollah rocket fire on Israel's northern region, which has already displaced 70,000 residents there. ABC Global Affairs correspondent Martha Raddatz is in Israel.
A barrage of rocket fire into northern Israel, with Hezbollah launching more than 150 rockets, most within 45 minutes, across a wide swath of territory and deeper into Israel than most prior strikes. Air raid sirens wail with Hezbollah warning this is just a preview of what's to come. And Israeli forces saying their strikes against Hezbollah will only intensify.
And ahead of a planned address in front of the United Nations General Assembly this week, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is in Pennsylvania today, where he's expected to visit a Scranton ammunition plant. This is ABC News. A deadly mass shooting in Alabama Saturday night.
Police say four people have died following a shooting in a nightlife area in Birmingham, Alabama. The gunfire started after 11 p.m. Dozens of people shot on the sidewalks and streets. Arriving officers finding two men and a woman dead at the scene. A fourth victim died at a hospital. Investigators say there were multiple shooters. None of them are in custody. Dave Packer, ABC News.
21 people were hurt in the incident. Authorities say they believe it all stemmed from an isolated incident and multiple victims were caught in the crossfire. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky is set to visit an army ammunition plant in Scranton, Pennsylvania later today. That plant produces thousands of artillery rounds a month for Ukraine's war effort, specifically the kind of ammo used in howitzer systems, large guns that can hit targets up to 20 miles away. The visit comes ahead of this week's United Nations General Assembly in New York, where Zelensky is set to give an address. I'm Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clearer skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. In the last week, a bill to protect access to IVF failed on the Senate floor. Many families are scared that more restrictions on reproductive rights will impact their ability to have children. Mike Moen talks with one mom who says IVF was her lifeline.
For the second time this year, Senate Republicans blocked efforts to put in place a nationwide right to in vitro fertilization, or IVF. The outcome is likely to get more attention on the campaign trail this fall. Mariah Grant, a mother from Bloomington, says she and her husband were both diagnosed with infertility. They are now proud parents of a daughter through IVF, but there were many hoops to jump through.
Infertility is a disease, and like any other disease, it is emotionally and physically exhausting. When your disease is not covered by insurance, there's a financial component added on top of it, which is equally exhausting.
She says the couple underwent many tests, took out a second mortgage, and relied on crowdfunding to pay for the IVF. In Congress, Senate Republicans say they support IVF but accuse Democrats of a political stunt by bringing it to a vote. Democrats contend the outcome aligns with conservative ideals in curtailing reproductive freedoms. Grant says people have their right to their opinions about an issue, but those beliefs shouldn't come at the expense of access to reproductive care.
It's isolating. Our society has created a taboo around it for so long.
Although the U.S. Senate vote failed, Grant says it's encouraging to see policymakers debate this topic openly. Minnesota Governor and Democratic Vice Presidential nominee Tim Walz has frequently called for expanded access to IVF, citing his family's struggle with infertility. This is Mike Moen for Minnesota News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price on this Sunday and first day of fall. A little bit of rain early on will give way to mostly sunny skies. Breezy north winds up over 20 miles per hour, highs in the upper 60s. Today, partly cloudy in lower 40s. Sunshine near 70 Monday. Currently 62 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Next time, Todd's going to be back from Cheese Days in Monroe, and he's going to walk us through Vice President Harris's stop in Madison, as well as any other weekend news. Tune in.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to the revolution, friends. What is going on? We got another week here. Holy cow. This is just flying by. This is crazy. And we've got a really special episode today. We have two incredible guests. And so we're going to get right to it, which first off, if you missed some of our last episodes, they're all available online. Head to civicmedia.com, search the Rational Revolution. Last week, we talked to Congressman Mark Pocan. He's incredible. I said that was probably one of my favorite episodes that I recorded, because what an incredible, kind, just a genuine dude. And it was such an honor to talk to him, and I really hope we get to do it again. He talked about coming on the show and doing a Project 2025 whole episode. And so we are working on setting that up, and I hope to do that here before the election, because that is some information that does need to be shared. However, we have a very, very special guest here. For the first couple of segments here, we have the Harris-Walz campaign manager for the state of Wisconsin, Mr. Garen Randolph. Dude, oh my gosh, hi.
Hey, Mark, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
No, thank you for...
I'm a little worried because you said Mark was your favorite episode, so I guess, I don't know how I'm feeling about that.
Hey, we got time, man. We can turn this around. No, he's... I'm sure you've met him. What a guy. Like, what an awesome, just a genuine, wonderful person.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we are lucky to have him represent Wisconsin, and I think that, you know, he's been a great friend of the state of Wisconsin and great friend of our campaign. You know, he's been out working just as hard as anybody for the last, you know, year. So
yeah,
really appreciate everything Mark does.
He really has been. We kind of talked about how he's crisscrossing the state and just, you know, his travel schedule is nuts. So what a good representative of the possibilities that can happen under a Kamala Harris and Tim Walz administration. Which, speaking of.
Absolutely.
So you, which by the way, hey, hot off the presses, I've got a statement here and I want to get you to react to it. You, I'm sure, have seen it, but, from Teamsters Joint Council 39, the Teamsters of Wisconsin, they represent over 15,000 workers across the state of Wisconsin. They have endorsed officially, Tim Walz and Kamala Harris, excuse me. And the statement reads, as vice president of the most pro-union administration ever, Kamala Harris worked with the Teamsters and other unions to pass the historic Butch Lewis Act, which has saved pensions of over a million retirees to date. As president, Kamala Harris will build on those efforts and work with Congress to pass the PRO Act, ending union some of the most egregious union busting tactics for once and for all. In contrast, Donald Trump tried to gut workers' rights as president by appointing union busters to the NLRB, advocating for national right to work, and Trump's 2025 project 2025 would go even further. They keep going on, but they said they are proud to endorse Harris Walz for president and vice president. What say you about that?
Yeah, look, Mark, we are honored to have their support. I think that it is important to have the local union support, right? Like, these are the workers that the union that represents workers here in Wisconsin. And like you said, over 15,000 workers across the state, and they're on board for the campaign for the same reasons that we've been talking about. You know, there are two very clear visions for this country in this election. You know, one is the vision of Vice President Harris and Governor Walz that is working to, you know, lower costs for middle class families, working to protect our freedoms, working to make sure that our democracy remains intact. And that is a pretty clear contrast with the other side of this. You know, Donald Trump is pushing a dark backward vision for the rest of for the future of this country. You know, that includes an agenda that gives him unprecedented, unchecked power to go after his political enemies. It goes gives him a chance to do the same thing he did when he was in office last time and give handouts out to corporations and his rich friends while leaving middle class families behind. He's going to continue to attack healthcare. He's going to continue to attack reproductive rights. He's going to continue to undermine our democracy if the elections don't shake out in the way he wants it to. So I think that it's a real honor to have the Teamsters on board. We've seen unions, elected officials, organizations from across the state joining the campaign. I think that you're just going to continue to see more and more people joining the charge here because there's a lot at stake this November, and all these groups know that.
Yeah, and it was they do point out as well in their press release that the Joint Council Executive Board they unanimously endorsed Kamala Harris. So I mean that's cool too. And I'm a child of a union. My dad was a mailman for how many years? So I mean I understand you know what's at stake here with unions as well. But so we got less than 50 days to the election. How is your stress level?
we're doing all right. We're excited. You know, I think that we're in the home stretch here. I keep telling people today's day 47. We've got 47 days to elect the 47th president of the United States. So I just told the team that this morning. The stress levels are just as high as they always are at the end of a campaign, but we're ready. You know, this is a team that is not new. We've been building this for a long time now. This is the same team that has had a lot of success over the last few years here in Wisconsin. This is the team that delivered the White House to Joe Biden in 2020, delivered the governor's mansion back to Tony Evers in 2022, with the Supreme Court last year. Like, we have been doing the work for a long time. This didn't just start with, Vice President Harris's campaign or with President Biden's campaign, frankly. A lot of these staff were here. These are the same people that know how to win Wisconsin. And we have the biggest infrastructure we've ever had. You know, there's almost 50 offices across the state. We've got over 200 staff. On the ground, the staff on the ground are mostly organizers talking to voters and not just talking to voters in Milwaukee and Madison. You know, we've got organizers in all counties that Donald Trump won. We've got offices in counties that Donald Trump won. We are leaving no stone unturned, and we're making sure that we're talking to folks about the stakes of the election. So while the stress levels are high, it's going to be a close election like it always is, but, you know, we know what the stakes are. We've built the team to do it, and we're excited to finish this off and get the job done and beat him again just like we did 4 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was midweek last week I was called by an organizer from Oconto County. That's where I live in that county. And, like, it was a great conversation because I was like, hey, you know, you're doing the right thing. You're doing the Lord's work up here, man, because this is not exactly, like, super blue. So, you know, I didn't realize that you had 50 offices. That's crazy.
And I do think it's important to point out, you know, that's a great example. We're not just talking to Democrats with our team. You know, we are talking to independents. We're talking to Republicans. Like, there is a home in our campaign for Republicans that are over the craziness here. There's a home for people that are tired of the chaos, for Republicans that aren't supportive of this radical Project 2025 agenda. Now, we are reaching out to everyone across the aisle, and we are building a coalition of folks that isn't just your normal Democratic base. You know, we are talking to voters in every corner of the state, regardless of what party they are and regardless of where they live.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the theme for today's show is reaching across the aisle and building that coalition. So I'm sure you know my background, but I was a chairman of the Brown County Republican Party. And, you know, in everything that I tried to do, it was like try to bring people into the tent. The Republican Party loves to gloss themselves as the big tent party, which now is absolutely not the case. But it's really, you know, falling onto the shoulders of the Democrats and trying to, you know, build their sphere of influence, open up the tent to people that are, like you said, disenfranchised. How is that going?
You know, I think it's going well. You saw in the debate last week, the vice president mentioned this, you know, like, there's a lot of people that are over this. You know, there's a lot of people that are tired of the divisiveness that we've seen over the last 7, 8 years, whatever it is now, years of Donald Trump running for office. People are ready to move on and have, you know, stop thinking about this crazy and, you know, negative political rhetoric and start having real conversations about moving this country forward. And that's what our campaign has been about this entire time. We're not litigating past elections. We're not, you know, airing past grievances. Kamala Harris has a vision for the future of this country. And that is a vision for the future that, you know, is making sure that middle class families have a chance to not just get by, but get ahead. You know, it's making sure that people maintain the freedoms that they've had for years and that we're not taking this country backwards. And that message is resonating. You're seeing that with Republicans both in state and nationally. And I think you kind of hit it on the head where, with the bigger tent here. I mean, when's the last time you had Republicans speaking at the Democratic National Convention?
Right.
Like we are making sure that we are bringing people in here, and people are responding to that message. You saw a letter earlier this week with 100, you know, Republicans nationally supporting the Harris-Wallace ticket. You've got former Trump cabinet members that are coming out endorsing us. You've got, you know, former Republican elected officials like Liz Cheney coming out, you know. How often do you see those people endorse
and
Democrats?
And her dad, right?
Like this is not about Democrat versus Republican. Right. This is about right versus wrong.
Yes.
And I think I really do, like you included, like I do applaud the courage of Republicans from across the state and people, you know, current and former Republicans that are willing to step up and say, hey, this isn't right. You know, we have to turn the page here. And we are reaching out to those people actively. And I think the response has been great.
I think that, you know, and obviously we don't want to look ahead, but of course that's what, I mean, we do that. But like the Democratic Party has such an opportunity to open their tent and to expand not just people who will vote for Kamala Harris, but people who will vote for, you know, Elizabeth Warren and people who will vote for Tammy Baldwin. And I mean, like Democrats all over the place. You know, Pete Buttigieg, all of them, up and down, wherever they are, they have such an opportunity to grow their party and grow their grassroots organization. As long as, you know, God willing, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz win, how do they keep this? How do they keep this momentum going and keep these people, you know, listening and engaged?
You know, I would say I've had this conversation with you before, and I would say that the Republican Party had an opportunity to move past Donald Trump.
Oh, God, they did. Yes.
And they did, right? And so I think you're exactly right. Like these people that are completely disaffected by what's going on that side they're the people we're talking to. And I would say, you know, you mentioned a bunch of national Democrats, but I also think it's important to point out, like, we have huge opportunity in state right now.
Oh, yeah.
We have new maps for the first time in a very long time. And part of the infrastructure that I mentioned earlier is the same infrastructure that's working to elect Democrats to the state assembly, to the state senate across the state. And you're going to see the fruits of that pretty soon. I think that we have a real shot to make a dent in, you know, in the state legislature and have a state that looks very different. And having a state that looks different will make it, you know, a lot easier for Governor Evers and a lot easier for soon to be President Kamala Harris to help deliver for Wisconsinites. So I think that's important, too. So I do think that we have an opportunity here to talk to a whole new group of voters that are listening to us. And I think that it's an opportunity to bring folks out of the tent, not just for this election, but for moving forward. You know, we are showing a different vision than the Republican Party is. And the Republican Party's vision that they're pushing this election is out of touch with what Wisconsinites want. That's just the case. You know, people are not into this Project 2025 agenda. It is radical. Right. Like people do not think the president should have unchecked power. You know, people think these are things that are basic tenets of our democracy. And I think that we have a real opportunity to, you know, reach these voters right now and have them moving forward.
We do. Yeah.
And Representative, we're gonna do everything we can to do that.
Right. Exactly. Representative democracy is a cool thing. And we're going to continue this discussion here on the other side with Wisconsin campaign manager for Harris for President, Garen Randolph.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Let's talk about FOMO being a no-go when it comes to investing and managing your money. FOMO, F-O-M-O, means fear of missing out. Now, FOMO isn't all bad. I've known a couple Taylor Swift fans who FOMO'd their way to face value tickets and avoided the $1,000 aftermarket, like me. But when it comes to investing, FOMO can be toxic. History is pretty clear about this. Chasing trends that you hear about on TikTok or investing in hot stocks is not going to pan out over time the way a diversified portfolio of index funds will. I want to check in on my investments a few times a year and let time and compound interest work their magic. Okay, folks, for more Everyday Money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
This is the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the show. Oh my goodness. So we're continuing our discussion with the man himself, the dude in charge of the Wisconsin Harris for President campaign, Mr. Garen Randolph. I wanted to, back in 2016, what were you up to?
2016, I was doing a local race and still doing campaigns here in Wisconsin. So I remember 2016 oh too well.
So I'm not a pessimist. I swear to God, I'm not. Some people that listen to my show would, so, you know, with all my doom and gloom, I talk about how much the Republicans suck. Like they might think I am that, but I am ever the optimist. However, I remember 2016 like it was yesterday, and I remember how every single poll that came out, like Real Clear Politics, which is like an average of all the polls that come out, had Hillary Clinton over her lead over 6%. Like it was outside the margin of error, to the point where she kind of like pulled some of her events and stuff from Wisconsin. And then we all know what happened. And I'm so nervous about that because we have 538, which is, you know, all the other polls and everything. Harris is up by 1.6, which is awesome. That's great. But holy crap, that is within the margin of error. What are we doing, man? Like how do we not have a repeat?
No, I hear you, and I would point to yes, that did happen in 2016, but I also point to, you know, in 2020, the average polling lead for Joe Biden was like 8 points, and we won by 20,000 votes.
Yeah,
because Mike, we didn't take our foot off the gas, and that's exactly what we're doing this time around. So I hear your concern, and I think you're right to be asking this question, but like this is. You know, this campaign is going to run through Election Day.
Right on.
We will have the candidates here, as you saw. We have the vice president here tomorrow.
Yes.
We had Governor Walz in Wausau last week. You don't see a presidential candidate show up in Wausau that often, right? Like, we are in every corner of the state, and we are making sure that that doesn't happen. You know, we are not reading these polls. Whatever the polling average says, great. This race is tied. This is still Wisconsin, and it's going to look like it has in the past. We are going to need every single vote, and we're going to talk to every single voter. And I do fully expect Election Day to be extremely close.
Yeah.
And I think that is the thing that we keep, you know, the message we keep drilling into our voters and to our supporters is, you know, this thing is not over.
Yeah.
Donald Trump can win. We have to beat him. You know, this is not something that's going to be handed to us. It is our job over the next 47 days to make sure that we knock on every door, to make sure that we make every phone call, to make sure that we talk to our friends and family, show up at events, whatever it takes. Because if we don't put in that work for the next 47 days, November is going to feel a lot more like 16 than it did 20. Yeah. And we can't let that happen.
No, we can't.
You know, we are committed to finishing this off.
I want to talk about, you know, what the campaign, I don't know how to even say this, but like, you know, the buzzword is weird, right? And, you know, everything from candidates not pronouncing Kamala Harris's name correctly to something that Sarah Huckabee Sanders said that was actually really, really disgusting. And if you don't know what she said, listeners out there, what she made mention to is she said that she has children at home that make her humble, and Vice President Harris doesn't have anything that keeps her humble. And like, what a disgusting, insulting thing. But it's not uncommon. I mean, this is
time and time and time again. Like, in the immortal words of Vince Lombardi, what the hell is going on out there? You know?
So, I think there's a couple pieces to this. First of all, what you are seeing from all of these surrogates like Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Laura Loomer and all these people that are coming out is an actual reflection of Donald Trump.
Yes.
This is Donald Trump. Just because his campaign has been able to rehearse him and occasionally keep him on message, this is how he thinks. But it also is a distraction from the campaign that they're running. You know, they don't have a plan to move this country forward.
Right.
This campaign is about grievances of the past. It's about Trump getting revenge for an election he lost 4 years ago.
Staying out of prison.
I didn't even want to go there, but I'll give you that one.
I'll go there.
But this, you know, our campaign is looking for. We're talking about lowering costs for voters. We're talking about not lowering taxes for the middle class and making sure millionaires pay their fair share. We're talking about lowering healthcare costs. We're talking about increasing public safety. Our campaign is talking about the things that voters are interested in hearing, and Trump's campaign is not. And they you see this, as you said, you know, weird, crazy stuff, because they don't have a plan to move this country forward.
Yeah.
So voters are looking for an answer to what's next, and he doesn't have that. So you continue to see this stuff to distract from that. But I think it is important that, you know, as some of this stuff does seem, you know, crazy and out of left field, like, we have to listen to what they're saying, because Donald Trump's agenda for another 4 years is crazy and radical and out in left field. You know, Donald Trump left our country in chaos last time he was president. And he didn't have a plan then. He has a plan now. You know, he has a plan to, you know, do tax cuts again to give handouts to his rich friends. He has a plan to restrict reproductive freedoms. He has a plan to undermine democracy. He has a plan to let him do whatever he wants without any consequences. And that stuff is scary.
It is scary.
So I think that making sure that voters see that and they don't get too caught up in, you know, some of this wild rhetoric, because there are real things at stake here. And, you know, I think that Trump's campaign is doing everything they can to distract people.
They are. And I think, you know, there is the doom and gloom, but I also think that there is such optimism and such positivity coming from Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. You can see it in the places they go. You can see it in the faces of people who they meet. And it's not an anger or a bitterness or, you know, this is something that we need to get revenge for. It's just unadulterated hope and love for the country. Like, it's so cool. It's so refreshing. We've got 30 seconds. I do want you to comment on that part of that.
Yeah, I mean, we are seeing amazing excitement across the state since she became a candidate. I mean, we had almost 20,000 people in Milwaukee. We had 16,000 people show up for a rally in Eau Claire. We haven't done anything like that. I mean, the excitement that we're seeing from both attendees, from the hundreds of thousands of volunteers that have signed up to help out the campaign is great. You know, Wisconsinites are ready to elect Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and turn the page and move this country forward. And I think that, you know, seeing them and having them continue to talk about, you know, hope and joy and moving the country forward is exactly what's fueling this.
Yeah, it is awesome, and I'm so glad that you spent some time out of your freaking crazy schedule with us. And you know, if you're free, you're a friend of the show, come on. I'd love to do a different campaign update as things get further on here.
Absolutely, I'll be back.
Garen Randolph, thank you so much.
Thank you for all you're doing.
Keep up the work, brother. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
We'll see you later. And we'll be right back on the Rational Revolution after this.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Israel's prime minister is strongly indicating that he will no longer tolerate Hezbollah rocket fire on Israel's northern region, which has already displaced 70,000 residents there. ABC Global Affairs correspondent Martha Raddatz is in Israel.
A barrage of rocket fire into northern Israel, with Hezbollah launching more than 150 rockets, most within 45 minutes, across a wide swath of territory and deeper into Israel than most prior strikes. Air raid sirens wailed with Hezbollah warning this is just a preview of what's to come. And Israeli forces saying their strikes against Hezbollah will only intensify.
And ahead of a planned address in front of the United Nations General Assembly this week, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is in Pennsylvania today, where he's expected to visit a Scranton ammunition plant.
This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The post-clinch swoon continues in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The NL Central champion Milwaukee Brewers lost their third game in a row, blanked 5-0 by the Arizona Diamondbacks Saturday. The loss all but puts the Brewers out of the running for a playoff bye. Milwaukee only managed two hits in the loss. It's Milwaukee and Arizona again on Sunday to wrap up a seven-game homestand. Green Bay is at Tennessee for a noon showdown. In the preseason, the Packers traded with the Titans to bring in quarterback Malik Willis, who started last week's win over Indianapolis. He's expected to start again today as Jordan Love continues to recover from an MCL sprain that he suffered in the season opener. Sean Clifford was also signed to the active roster from the practice squad for today's game, which kicks off at noon. And the kickoff time for Saturday's Wisconsin Badgers football game at USC has been announced. The game will start at 2:30 p.m. Both teams are 2-1 to start the year. You'll be able to hear it on select Civic Media stations around the network. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price on this Sunday and first day of fall. A little bit of rain early on will give way to mostly sunny skies. Breezy north winds up over 20 miles per hour, highs in the upper 60s. Tonight, partly cloudy in lower 40s. Sunshine near 70 Monday. Right now, it's 64.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965 following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that Just a Bit Outside the Movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You gotta go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie. Yeah. Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Mr. Global will be here to talk about gas and energy prices. Send in your questions to Jane Says at civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. Appreciate you hanging out with us. We're going to do a quick pivot from what we just talked about. I'll have thoughts on that here in the next segment. But a quick pivot here is because we've got a pretty famous dude. He is a former Illinois Congressman, Joe Walsh. If you don't know the guy, you know what he said once. And he's the dude that famously said, if Trump loses, get your muskets. But he's not here for that. He's here for the... For the right reason. How did you go from, if Trump loses, get your muskets, to literally on the campaign trail for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz?
Trump happened, Mark.
Well, I should say first, welcome to the revolution, my friend.
Mark, it's great to be with you. Look, when Trump ran, in 16, I did support him, and I was on the radio like you, but I was on the radio all over the country.
Yes.
But I honestly didn't pay that much attention to him until after he got elected. And then after he got elected, pretty much every day for the next year and a half, he went south on me, and I finally then came out against him because I consider him to be a threat to our democracy. And no surprise, Mark, when I said that, I lost my conservative radio show.
Weird. There was a guy locally here in Green Bay that did the same thing, and he was a never Trumper and a friend of Charlie Sykes, who's also a friend of the show. You know, and I have to ask, because Charlie Sykes, he was patient zero. He was the first guest on the show, and we talked. He's awesome. He's a really wonderful person.
Yeah,
I told him that, you know, he's been the super high integrity guy that I've known. And that the state has known for 30 years, but he pushed back on that. And he said, you know, he's had some really seismic changes in his beliefs over the last, you know, 6 years, and his eyes have been really opened. Would you feel the same?
No, it's interesting. And all the respect in the world. I love Charlie Sykes.
He's a great guy.
Great, great guy. Solid, solid, solid. I'm still, the way I explain it, Mark, was I went to Washington 2010. Kind of like Trump did. I was sick of both parties. I'm sick of our political system. I went there because we're bankrupt in future generations. Yeah. I wanted to burn the place down. I was part of that Tea Party wave, but I was a divisive Tea Party asshole. I went there and declared war on everybody. I'm still kind of a libertarian Tea Party guy. I'm just not a jerk or an ass anymore.
That's cool.
And that movement, and I've publicly apologized, Mark, because the Tea Party movement, we helped lead to Trump. No doubt about it. People like me helped lead to the ugly thing that is Trump. So I'm spending the rest of my life trying to make up for that.
No, and that's really cool because, you know, there's a lot of solace and peace knowing that you're on the right side of history. And I, you know, it's definitely not always an easy or fun thing to say what we say behind a microphone, but I think you can look at yourself in the mirror pretty well.
Well, so, and Mark, you know, because you and I mean, you and I are both political animals. look, to be a Republican and to stand in the public square and say, I oppose Trump and what he is, you pretty much end your career as a Republican. Yeah. I knew when I came out against Trump 6 years ago, I could never get elected again as a Republican. My colleague, Adam Kinzinger, when he came out a few years ago, he knew he was done. But what's interesting is, as I've been traveling the battleground states as part of Republicans for Harris, man, the courage I'm seeing among, and you know this, among local Republicans who have the courage to stand in their community and say, I'm with Harris, man, that takes a lot of courage. They need to be commended.
Yeah, and I live in a small town and in rural Wisconsin here, so that's
hello,
it's a good time, man. So what made you change? Like what was the moment that not only you changed from, okay, well, I'm opposed to Trump, but now I can get on board with Kamala Harris?
I turned on Trump 6 years ago, and again, it grew right after he got elected. The final straw was Helsinki, where he stood in front of the world and said, I'm with Putin and not my own people. I went on the radio that night, Mark, around the country, and I said, I'm going to do everything in my power to defeat him. And, well, yeah, then I lost my radio show. But look, I believe in my bones. And damn near every Republican for Harris I've engaged with believes as well that he is a threat to our democracy.
Yeah.
I mean, plain and simple, that's where it begins and ends with me. He tried to overthrow an American election. He's the only president in American history who lost an election and refused to concede. And if you believe he's a threat to our democracy, well, then he's dangerous. And then he can never, ever be in office again. And then we are obligated to support the only person who can beat him. And look, Mark, if it was still Joe Biden, I'd be Republicans for Biden. If Biden were 150 years old, I'd be Republicans for Biden. It doesn't matter to me because Trump needs to lose. Now, the cool thing is Kamala Harris is somebody who is really easy for even a Tea Party guy like me to get excited about.
And what you know, what responsibility does, okay, so let's say in 4 months, 5 months, you know, Democrats are, you know, getting ready to move on. Republicans are hopefully, you know, burning their Trump things in effigy. What responsibility does, you know, Kamala Harris and the Democratic Party have to build bridges and move forward and try to continue this coalition that they've got?
Yeah. Mark, that's a superb question, and she's already doing it. Look, in everything she's been saying, it's all been her looking in the camera saying, I want to be president for all Americans. She's been the antithesis of Trump. She's been inclusive. I went to that Democratic National Convention.
I saw that.
First ever Democratic convention I've ever been at, Mark.
Right, yeah.
It was weird in a cool way, though.
Yeah.
In a cool way. But when I listened to her deliver that speech, I heard elements of Reagan. I heard someone, Kamala Harris, who loves this country and will defend this country and believes this country is good. Man, that's great stuff. And that's the opposite of the America sucks, blame America stuff that Trump pushes. I think Kamala Harris also, Mark, has done a really good job of kind of moving to the middle, where most Americans are, common sense, let's get some practical stuff done. I think that's where she's going to be. And I think if she governs like that, there is a big, big Democratic coalition here to be had.
And yeah, I totally agree. As we're talking with former Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh, so if we're continuing along those 4 months and the GOP is burning the Trump things in effigy, what happens to them?
You and I probably disagree on this. I don't believe they'll be burning their Trump.
No, they probably won't. I totally agree with you. I don't think they will either.
And again, here's the deal. Like, and I have these conversations with undecided Republicans in the battleground states. There's going to be an election in 50 days. Mm-hmm. And here's the only thing, Mark, we know. If Kamala Harris loses, Kamala Harris will concede. She'll accept the result.
Yeah.
She'll congratulate the winner, and she'll participate in the peaceful transfer of power. Mm-hmm. Trump will do none of that.
Right.
I mean, none of that. But it doesn't matter, because Trump won't accept the result if it's close or if it's a landslide. And I know, because I still engage with his hardest core supporters, they won't accept the result, period. So this is going to be a real problem, because it's still his party, and I think it's going to stay his party, but I think the Republican Party is shrinking nationally.
Yeah.
It's becoming a strong rural, kind of a local rural party, but it's shrinking nationally, and a lot of people, even like myself, conservative Joe Walsh, you know, could be part of a bigger, better Democratic Party coalition.
So you do consider yourself a conservative still?
I consider myself to still be a proud Tea Party conservative it's funny, Mark. I got in an argument with Pierce Morgan the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Who
yes,
said
did.
That demented, deranged people like me and Liz Cheney, we've abandoned our principles. And I said, hello, my principles are democracy, the rule of law, and the Constitution. I'm defending those principles. Yeah. Kamala Harris believes in those principles. So, yes. I still consider myself a Tea Party conservative.
Yeah, and I've had conversations with people that, you know, Democrats about this too, that there is a conservative argument for marriage equality. There is a conservative argument for giving women autonomy over their bodies. There is a conservative argument for healthcare reform and border. You know, like, so thing, it's just a different way to look at it. So do you think that the Democratic Party will be the new big tent?
I think they have an opportunity to, because and coming from MAGA, I come from MAGA. MAGA is shrinking.
Yes.
You know, these folks are my folks, and you know these folks. We're primarily talking about middle-aged and older white folk. And this MAGA philosophy is not tolerant. The opposite of everything you just said, it's not inclusive. It's build a wall around America and keep people out.
Yeah.
Most Americans don't support that. Most people of color don't support that. Most young Americans don't support that. So MAGA's going to shrink. So the Democrats have a great opportunity, and I think Kamala Harris is giving voice to this, to embrace, you know, from kind of center right folk like me, to progressives on the left. And I think she's got a great opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, this show is called The Rational Revolution because we kind of live Amen. in that middle sphere. And I think, like you said, the Democrats have quite an opportunity to have the most diverse and open coalition that we've seen in decades. So what are you doing to help defeat Donald Trump? I want to hear all about that as well.
Well, and just to put a button on what yeah. you just said. Yes, I'm hoping the Democrats expand, and I do.
Yeah, I do too.
And who knows what's going to happen after this election? And will there be a third party? There's talk about a new center-right party. All of this stuff. Stop.
Yeah.
Job one is to make sure that Trump loses, because
yeah, right.
none of this happens if he wins. So she has to win, and that's why I'm devoting every ounce of every minute of every day that I've got to help her. We launched this Republicans for Harris group about a month ago. We had a national Zoom call. Me and Adam Kinzinger and others were on the call. We had like 80, 90,000 Republicans from all over the country on the call.
Yep.
It's only grown since then. So I am going into battleground states every week. Was in Arizona last week. And I get with these local Republicans. And well, you know, it's hard for Republicans to come out
mm-hmm.
And say, I am still a Republican and I'm voting for her. I'm putting my country first. So I'm helping to rally Republicans to do that and to help sort of give them the tools. So as they go out and proselytize with their neighbors, these are some of the messages that will help.
Do you think that we have the, a coalition big enough to make a difference like that?
Hell yes. Hell yes. Hell yes. Think about it, Mark. I mean, again, I'm exaggerating. This election's going to be decided by 72 people in four states.
Yeah, right.
I exaggerate a little bit. You know, right? We're
yeah.
talking about 3 to 4 to 5 states that will decide this election and maybe a few thousand people in each of those states.
Yeah.
My word, if we Republicans for Harris can move just a few thousand Republicans in each of these states, that can make a really profound difference. And I'll also say this, Mark, I've been amazed, New Hampshire, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona, everywhere I've been so far, I've had a lot of Republicans come up to me and say, Joe, I'm going to vote for her, but
no
I
kidding.
Can't say that publicly.
Yeah.
So I think they're, and look, if they say it publicly, man, we embrace them.
Yes.
If they say that to me and say they can't say it publicly, I embrace them.
Yeah.
I think there's a movement here that the pollsters aren't getting. There's real excitement among center right people for her.
Yeah, and that's that is something that is really encouraging. And former Congressman Joe Walsh, I really appreciate your time here. I appreciate what you're doing because I know what it's like, and it is not easy. So let's connect again before the election. And
hey, Mark.
Yes.
I'm a tequila drinker. When I come to Northern Wisconsin, we're gonna do God's work and we're gonna proselytize.
I got some Class Azul for you, buddy.
Done.
Yes.
I'm yours. I'll
All right, brother.
In a week.
Thank you, Joe. Take care.
Thanks,
we'll see
Mark.
You back on the Rational Revolution.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, when I was feeling near as faded as my jeans.
Good call with the song, Mr. Conrad, spinning the tunes back behind the glass. That's a nod to Chris Alfheim, who's fighting the good fight out there, running for state senate. So if you see her on the campaign trail, give her a big hug, because we do adore her, and we think about her often. So what a show. We had Wisconsin campaign manager for Harris for president, Garen Randolph, and former Congressman Joe Walsh. Well, I hope you enjoyed both of those discussions. That was a real treat. And I think to kind of harken back a little bit, I was planning what I was going to say in my, as Todd the God, our other producer, says, Mark's Musing segment, which maybe that's what we'll call it. I don't know. But the theme of the show today was kind of getting out and reaching, beyond the party. And I have some conversations with my brother, dear friend of the show, John Becker. And, he kind of sometimes gets on me a little bit for trying to, and I don't know what word to use other than like evangelize, right? I try to reach people and evangelize and tell the good word. I grew up Catholic, so whatever. Try to get people to, understand and just reach them and touch them and try to, have them open to a different way of thinking. Because as we said with Joe Walsh, there are conservative arguments for the things that the Democrats are fighting for. There are conservative arguments for pillars that are in Kamala Harris's platform. And so we have to reach out to different people other than the people that we talk to inside our circle. And so it's so cool to see what the Harris campaign is doing, reaching to people, like myself, I guess, or you. But I think one of the overarching themes too is we touched on that with Garen Randolph, is the word weird. And I want to talk about that a little bit, or maybe a lot, I don't know. But it's J.D. Vance is seemingly like embracing this moniker. It's weird. He's making jokes about it, all that. But it's not funny. Like, it's not funny to do what they're doing. It's not funny. And as Garen Randolph said, what they're doing is they are just mirroring the leader of their party. And like they're taking a brush and they're trying to paint their opponents with it. But the problem is the paint that they're using is splattered all over their own chest. And so they're trying to make their opponents exactly what they are. And from everything from continually mispronouncing Vice President Harris's name, you know damn well how to pronounce her name. You're not stupid. Well, maybe sans like Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren Boebert, those that like they're not dumb people. They are smart. They're doing these things with intent. They're doing these things with purpose. And it's not funny when people out there are making this movement their identity. I go pick up my kids from school every day. And there's two big old trucks that drive up with Let's Go Brandon on the back of their window. Like, that's not funny. I mean, it is kind of funny now because it's like, good old boy Brandon's not the nominee. So, you're super cool. But the problem is when that movement is so centered around hate and divisiveness and these little jabs just meant to bully and insult, when hate becomes who you are, it like really, really awful things happen. And I hate to sound doom and gloom and all of that, but that's like, that's where we are. And you have one side who, yes, they have Project 2025, which is disgusting. I really hope we get that thing with Mark Pocan on here, because that would be, we need to talk about that. But when you have, when you boil everything down to the lowest common denominator, because that's what I try to do about every issue. I try to take myself and my biases and everything that I believe, I try to take it out. And what we're left with in this election is truly a choice between goodness and decency and positivity and not. We have on one side someone who is convicted of 37 felonies, is on trial for dozens more, and and that same person tried to overturn the will of the American people. He tried to overthrow democracy. And on the other side, we have someone who didn't do that. So like, no matter what my political opinions are, you know, people say, oh, are you better off 4 years ago than you were today? But like, it doesn't, to a point, that doesn't matter to me as much as the fact that we have a guy who is a felon who tried to overthrow our government, running to rule the government. And on the other side, we have someone who didn't do that. And so I, like Joe Walsh said, he thinks that the party will realign itself after this is all done. God willing, he loses. I'm nervous that they're not going to realign. They're just going to rebrand. And it's up to you to make sure that it doesn't happen. Contact those 50 offices that are in Wisconsin. Get on the phone, knock on some doors. Get out there and join that fight. Thank you all. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend. I'm Mark Becker from the Rational Revolution. We'll see you next week. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing. I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. And feeling good was easy, love, when he sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me.
Eagle 1490 AM. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Next time, Todd's going to be back from Cheese Days in Monroe, and he's going to walk us through Vice President Harris's stop in Madison, as well as any other weekend news. Tune in.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the green or gold with your local Civic Media radio station. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Hezbollah fired more than 100 rockets into northern Israel overnight, with one member of the group declaring an open-ended battle is underway. It comes after last week's attacks targeting Hezbollah pagers and walkie-talkies. National Security spokesperson John Kirby spoke with ABC's This Week about the conflict.
We still believe that there can be time and space for a diplomatic solution here, and that's what we're working on.
Police in Birmingham, Alabama are searching for multiple suspects involved in a mass shooting last night. 4 people were killed and 17 more were wounded when shots rang out in a crowded nightlife district. Police Chief Scott Thurmond.
It's going to take everyone to work together to get these individuals off the streets who inflicted this carnage on our city last night. And no one in this city wants these people on our streets.
Police say multiple shooters were involved and that many of the victims were caught in the crossfire. More than 100 shell casings have been recovered. This is ABC News. Four people are now dead after a mass shooting in Birmingham, Alabama last night. No arrests have been made, but officials believe one person at the location was targeted by the gunman in a coordinated hit, and they believe multiple shooters were involved in the incident, which took place in a crowded neighborhood known for its nightlife. Birmingham Police Officer Truman Fitzgerald.
These mass shootings have more to do with culture than they do criminality. Mayor Randall Woodfin said it best this week. We're seeing far too many arguments being settled by bullets.
21 people were injured in that shooting. Questions remain in the shooting death of a Kentucky District Court.